Welcome to this IFRS Foundation podcast, which will focus on the December meeting of the International Accounting Standards Board. The meeting took place in London on the 11th to 13th of December 2018. My name is Matt Tilling. I'm a member of the technical staff here at the ISB. Today I'm joined by the Chair of the Board, Hans Hoogeveust, and Vice Chair Sue Lloyd to talk through the latest meeting and other developments. Before we talk about the board's meeting, perhaps we should mention the meeting of the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum, or ASAF, Hans.
Yes, so ASAF met at the start of December. First meeting in a new composition. As people might know, the membership of ASAF is refreshed every 3 years. There are 12 members of ASAF, and this year we started with three new members, UK, Korea, and the Pan-African Federation of Accountants. As most people will know, ASAF is a very important technical advisory group to the ISB. This time we discussed issues like goodwill, management commentary, and primary financial statements. And yeah, these ASAF meetings are very good opportunities for the ISB to hear from the standard setters on what they have been doing in their jurisdiction, which is relevant to our work. For example, this time we heard a presentation from IFREC on feedback that they have received on our discussion paper on financial instruments with characteristics of equity. And that was very useful feedback to hear. For those who might be a little bit less familiar with ASAF, we have a new short video on our website that tells you more about this important group.
And we also published a number of documents this month.
Yes, we have published a consultation on which costs companies should use when assessing whether a contract will be loss-making when it's onerous. And these are proposed amendments to IAS 37. We have also published a feedback statement on the post-implementation review that we did on IFRS 13, the fair value measurement standard. And the review concluded that the standard on the whole works pretty well. And finally, we have published a consultation document with some proposed improvements to our taxonomy.
Sue, it was quite a busy agenda for this last board meeting of 2018. And today we are only going to discuss some of the highlights. Let's start with insurance. Can you give a short recap on what has been happening previously in this project?
Sure. So I'm sure people will know that we issued the new insurance standard, IFRS 17, in May 2017. And right from when we issued it, we were clear that we were going to be very interested in having a dialogue with our stakeholders to understand the sorts of questions and challenges that might come up with the implementation of IFRS 17. And we've always said that we would be interested to understand whether there was any need to address any sort of operational burdens that maybe we hadn't fully identified in the development of the standard. So we've done that through outreach meetings and most formally through the Transition Resource Group, which we've spoken about on this podcast before. So in October, the staff brought to us a summary of the main issues that have been raised during that programme of outreach in the Transition Resource Group. I think around 25 issues from memory, and they gave us a summary of those issues. And at the October meeting, we agreed that we would consider that list of issues in detail, and we would consider the possibility of making amendments to the standard as long, basically, as it didn't significantly reduce the quality of information that would be provided to investors, and it didn't cause undue delay to the timing of application of the standard. Following from that, in November, the board decided to propose a one-year deferral of the effective date of IFRS 17 to 2022. And when we did that, before we started talking about the specific issues, to give people a clear signal of the timing that they should be working to, and because we knew that just the fact we're talking about potential change creates uncertainty.
And that takes us up to this month's meeting.
That's right. So at this month's meeting, we went back to this list that we started with in October and started to look at some of the more of the issues in some more detail. And at the meeting, we decided to propose one amendment to the standard, which I'll just talk about briefly, which basically involves the presentation requirements in IFRS 17. So at the moment, IFRS 17 requires companies to group their insurance contracts into those that are in an asset position and those that are in a liability position, and to separately present them in the balance sheet. And people have told us that once they've gone into the detail of implementation, that in order to determine whether the groups are assets or liabilities, effectively they need to make systems changes to cash systems to work out, cash tracking systems to work out how to allocate amounts to groups of insurance contracts, and that would be relatively costly. So what the board decided to do was to propose changing IFRS 17 so that that analysis for presentation would be done at a portfolio level rather than a group level, so less system change would be required. And we decided that that was a good amendment to propose because we think it will give a significant relief from an operational perspective. But based on the initial discussions we've had with investors, it's not really a significant loss of information. So it meets our criteria that we agreed in October. And in January and February, the first few months of next year, we'll continue discussing the other issues on that list we started with in October to work out whether there's any other amendments we should consider. And then we'll put everything that we discuss into a document that will go out for comment later in 2019.
Perhaps I can add that the amendment that we have proposed in this meeting really helps insurers in implementation, will facilitate implementation. And that is one of the reasons why we think that a one-year deferral is enough, and that a one-year deferral as opposed to 2 years deferral, which quite a few insurance companies have asked for, that is a better signal to the market to keep the momentum going. And actually, we have also been approached by quite a few insurance companies who have told us that they agree that 1 year is enough. That if we were to go further, that would only increase costs and would also make it difficult within their companies to keep the momentum going. So I think we found a happy medium here.
Moving on from insurance, one of the topics of discussion was whether management performance measures can be presented using columns in the statement of financial performance.
Yes, and so the main decision that we took in this meeting was that we decided to prohibit the use of columns to present information about management performance measures in the statement of financial performance. The main reason being that we think that the use of columns to present such measures in the financial statements could give these measures undue prominence, something which in turn could mislead users of the financial statements. So we think the best place for these management performance measures, non-GAAP measures, as it were, the best place for these MPMs is in the notes and not on the face of the financial statements.
Sue, I don't think we've talked much about it in previous podcasts, but interest rate benchmark reform has the potential to impact a number of our accounting standards. And that was a topic of discussion this month at the board. And firstly, could you give us some brief outline of these reforms?
Sure. And for those who are interested, there was actually a good background paper that the staff provided us with for the June 2018 board meeting that people might want to go and read. But in brief, trillions of dollars worth of financial instruments around the world are referenced or indexed to interest rate benchmarks like LIBOR and Euribor. And it's a whole variety of instruments, from complex ones like derivatives right through to residential mortgages. And recent market developments have brought into question the long-term viability of these benchmarks. And from a regulatory perspective, there's been a clear steer toward replacing them with alternative, nearly risk-free rates based to a higher extent on transaction data. So that means we've got possible discontinuation of these types of benchmarks in the market, and if they are discontinued, there'd be a significant and widespread impact across financial markets, both economically but also financial reporting consequences. And not surprisingly, we're getting asked more and more questions about what we're going to do about this topic.
And so the financial instrument team have brought the board a paper looking at the possible effects on financial reporting of this reform.
That's right. So at this meeting, basically they asked the board whether we agreed that this should be moved from being a research project to a standard setting project. And so the board agreed to add the IBOR reform project to our standard setting. And we also agreed that we would really look at the effects on IFRS standards in two phases. Firstly, looking at the issues that we need to consider in the period from now until contracts are actually changed, when there's uncertainty about the ultimate change in contracts, and in particular in this first phase of the project we'll be looking at the most urgent issues which arise such as any potential effects on the ability to continue existing hedge accounting relationships. So that's the most urgent. And then as a second phase, we'll look at any changes to the standards that are required once there are actually changes in the contractual terms on the instrument. So we'll be looking at it in two parts.
Hans, the board continues to look at the proposed accounting model for rate-regulated activities and going into the details of those models.
Yes, we are in the finishing stage of this upcoming standard. The accounting model is really starting to come together, and we are looking at more of the detail. This month we focused on discount rates and also on accounting for regulatory timing differences. We expect more papers on this issue in the first months of the next year, and we hope that we will be able to wrap it up, let's say, in the first quarter of 2019.
Also, a paper that came to the board is a change to IAS 1 this month. Is this a significant change?
Well, perhaps I should say that it is a material change. Currently, IAS 1 requires company to disclose their significant accounting policies, and we decided to replace the term significant by material. Doesn't perhaps look like a big change, but material is a much better developed and defined concept than significant, which is rather generic. As you know, we have recently introduced or published the materiality practice statement, and we will try to improve the guidance on material accounting policies in this materiality practice statement. So all in all, we expect from this rather small change that it will lead to improved quality of disclosures around accounting policies.
Sue, this month the board discussed some proposed amendments to IAS 8 as well that had come from the Interpretations Committee.
So that's right. So a while ago we issued an exposure draft which was to do with the accounting for changes in policy which result from the decisions, agenda decisions issued by the IFRS Interpretations Committee. And basically what the proposal was to provide a little bit of relief on transition arising from a policy change coming from an agenda decision. And what we did at this meeting, firstly, was we got an overview of the feedback on that consultation. But a little bit unusually, we actually didn't talk at this month's meeting about the specific proposals in the agenda in that exposure draft. Rather, we talked about some feedback that we'd received in conjunction with the answers to the core questions in the exposure draft, where some people had asked questions about the status of agenda decisions. And the staff brought that to us, even though it wasn't something directly covered in the exposure draft, because it's very relevant to the review of the due process handbook that the trustees are undertaking at the moment. And we're going to be talking about this again with the due process oversight committee of the trustees in January next year. So what the board talked about was the status of agenda decisions, and the board agreed unanimously that the current status of agenda decisions, which means that they don't have the same mandatory status as IFRS standards, should be maintained, and that feedback should be provided to the due process oversight committee. Another topic that we talked about a little bit was some comments that we'd made in the exposure draft confirming or acknowledging that the board believes that when people make policy changes as a result of an agenda decision, they should be allowed sufficient time to make those changes. And we'd acknowledged that in the basis for conclusions to the exposure draft and hadn't proposed making an amendment to IAS 8. The board agreed that we shouldn't amend IAS 8 to include that comment, but we decided that we would suggest to the Due Process Oversight Committee that observation that sufficient time should be allowed for companies to make policy changes following agenda decisions should be referenced in the due process handbook, and that we also take opportunities to make sure that it's visible elsewhere. So, for example, in the basis for conclusions to IAS 8. So that'll be discussed further, as I said, at the trustee meeting in January.
That brings us to the end of the December podcast. It's been a big year for the IASB. Hans, any final observations for us?
Well, it was indeed a very important year for the organization. First of all, for us internally, what was very important that we moved from the city to Canary Wharf. We have fantastic new premises here, and overall the staff is very happy with their new work environment. So we will hope that further increases the quality of our work. 2018, of course, also kept us very busy with insurance, and that will keep us busy next year as well. We issued a new conceptual framework. There are still countries that announced that they are going to adopt IFRS as a whole. This year, both Thailand and Vietnam made it clear that they're going to fully adopt IFRS in the near future. What was also a very important event was the fitness check by the European Commission on public reporting. And I must say that the response from our stakeholders was really heartwarming. Well over 80% told the European Commission that they strongly preferred that Europe would not make changes to IFRS and that they would continue adopting pure IFRS. And I really felt that was a massive vote of confidence from our stakeholders in Europe, but also outside Europe. So that was a very good end of this year. And let me thank all our stakeholders for working with us so closely, providing us with input and support. That is really very much appreciated, and we hope we can continue working like that in 2019.
Thank you, Hans. Thank you, Sue, and thank you to our listeners. Any feedback on these podcasts, please email communications@ifrs.org. The full summary of the board's discussion and decisions at the December meeting can be found in the ISB update on the IFRS Foundation's website. Hans and Sue, I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all our listeners.